Hey guys, I'm Jay.
I'm Kate.
This is Red Flags, a Twilight podcast.
So today we're going to be talking about chapters 13, Confessions, 14, Mind Over Matter, and 15, The Cullens. So we'll start with probably 13.
So this grouping is when we finally meet all the Cullens. I've been saying it for the past two podcasts and I was wrong both times.
We do not meet all of them.
We meet a majority of them.
Yes. So where we left off the last time is they're in this like weird little meadow that's in the middle of nowhere type thing in the woods. Mm-hmm. And Bella like runs out into the meadow and is like, oh, look, I'm frolicking, and looks back. And then Edward steps out into the sun. So the notes we have for this is the quote, Edward in the sunlight was shocking. There is a faint flush from yesterday's hunt on his cheeks. He's dead. He doesn't have blood flow. Glistening pale lavender lids. Does he just look dead all the time? Bella's stroking Edward's arm. Jay, how do they get away without vaccinating? Edward's breath. Bella leans in for a whiff. Me, do vampires brush their teeth? I'm the world's best predator. Gives demonstration. Why don't they need blood like we need food, like 3 square meals a day? Edward comments on Bella's warm hands. Jay, gross, get off the heat lamp, you reptile. Bella's blood equals chocolate ice cream equals brandy. Edward doesn't understand alcoholism, heroin, or addiction in general. Emmett had 2 Bellas, killed them both. Edward calls Bella an insignificant little girl. And so the lion fell in love with the lamb, blah blah blah, my necklace. Does their hair still grow? What about their nails? Can their pores get clogged? So we have a sick kitty sitting next to us today.
We do.
He's so upset.
He just got his rabies shot, so he's acting like we've killed him.
So I wrote down, kiss, face attack, track star, death.
To remind us. That just about sums it up. Okay, but starting back at the beginning of this chapter, they are in the meadow. Bella has been looking at Edward
for hours, I guess?
Yeah, she describes it as though she's been looking at him for hours, and he's just, like, singing to himself while she's doing it. He glitters. This is what we find out.
A quote from Jay while we were reading this is, I'm Edward. I'm just gonna lay here and sing to myself while you stare at me.
It's just such a weird image in my head of her, like, they're just, like, silent for hours, and she describes
she's
it as,
just
like,
staring at him, and his mouth is moving, like, a million miles a minute.
She's, like, touching his hand, I think, but she, like, she's saying, like, oh, his mouth is moving, but I can't hear anything. So I asked him what he was doing, and he told me he was singing. So he's singing specifically so she can't hear him while she's just staring at him, and he's like, yeah, this is cool.
It's a really weird
image
interaction. Also, they're just really awkward.
Yeah, but so he glitters, obviously, like, we have this whole thing, like,
yeah, he sparkles,
his body is, like, all shimmery, and
sounds pretty.
Yeah, it's fine. And she's just, like, very awestruck by it, and I'm like, girl, have you never seen body glitter before? Every middle school girl has seen body glitter before. Because I obviously, like, my point of reference for how it actually looks is, like, the movies. And so I imagine,
well, it's like, diamond. That's...
yeah, I'm like, I imagine when it was written,
I picture it maybe something I don't want to look at in the sun, because right, it probably, like, burns your eyes.
Spectacular, which I guess brings us to the question of, like, how that actually works. And I guess it's, like, the similar reverse question of, like, vampires burning in the sun, where I think I've seen it before that it's, like, a question of, because the moon, like, moonlight is reflected sunlight, how do they not burn in the sunlight? How do they not sparkle under, like, fluorescent lights, for example? How do they... like, how is it only sunlight that does that?
Yeah, like, how come he can go into school? Because, like, if it's, like, diamonds, why doesn't it sparkle in artificial light like diamond?
Right, rather than sunlight in some cases.
Pictures? They can take pictures, right?
I think so. I think they can see their reflection and stuff.
I hate them.
Okay. Yeah, so it's just, like, this very weird scene where, for hours on end, he's just been laying in the sunlight, enjoying himself, sunning himself, because he's cold.
Which, like, how does he feel temperature?
Right? It's like, if you're cold all the time and your body doesn't self-regulate in that way, because
how do you feel temperature at all?
Because it's not important, then why is that a thing. But so she's just like staring at him. She's like, oh my gosh, he's so pretty. Can't believe it. I'm a lucky girl.
He has his shirt unbuttoned too, and I guess he's like actually ripped. Mm-hmm. So I guess I take back what I said, but I still think it's weird that she made a 17-year-old boy ripped, because like, and that's
I know that you didn't look at it, but I had to look at like the original Midnight Sun version for like a specific part that we're going to talk about later. I didn't realize that Alice is here watching them do this, according to Midnight Sun, because Alice followed them, and so she's looking.
Makes it Bella, so much worse.
Yeah, Bella is sitting here looking at Edward. He's just having maybe he's singing to Alice, who knows, and he's just like,
they do have a weird relationship, I'm not gonna lie. If I were Jasper and Bella, I feel like I'd be looking twice at that relationship,
right? But yeah, he's just like enjoying himself, and I didn't realize, I don't know if I think I read all of like the original Midnight Sun, but I don't remember this part. So I guess Alice is just there, she's somewhere around them to make sure that nothing actually happens, or if it does, that it's like a quick cleanup or something. But so yeah, so they're like alone, quote unquote. Bella's staring at Edward, and Alice is somewhere in the woods.
It's weird. This makes the whole thing so much worse. Mm-hmm. Like everything that happens in this forest.
Everything he's showcasing. But so he's just laying there. She grabs his hand if she isn't already holding it, and she's like turning it around to watch it like glitter. He finds this very endearing and amusing. He's like, oh, you're not afraid of me. Am I supposed to be? But he calls he calls himself the perfect predator. I don't know if this is
so he's flushed from yesterday's hunt. Mm-hmm. One, she mentions that hunting makes his eyes brighter. Mm-hmm. He never said that. Feel like he hasn't gone hunting and notified her of him going hunting and had his eyes so bright after that, like, she would make that connection yet. So I feel like Meyer is kind of skipping
reaching things there. Yeah,
which she's done before many times in this book, so whatever. And there's a faint flush from yesterday's hunt on his cheeks. Don't have blood flow, so like, how is that possible?
Does that
because imply, like, when I digest things, if I eat a steak, a steak isn't moving through my bloodstream, pumping through my veins. You know what I mean? Like, my body will absorb things from it. Like, well, nutrients,
I do wonder if that implies that, like, when they drink blood, that's what...
Your stomach is not attached to your heart. Like,
what that goes through their own veins? I don't know. Because obviously, they don't need to breathe.
Then why don't they get warm?
Right, like, they don't need to breathe, so I don't know if, like, their anatomy just gets messed up somewhere along
the line. How would it explain it? Like, exactly. That's what I don't like about any vampire story, is the anatomy of the vampire is never explained. And I think it's stupid. I'm like, I don't understand. So, like, it's flushed from yesterday's hunt. Why would it still be flushed? Because the blood's not warm anymore. Right. And his body does not self-regulate, so it's not possible for his cheeks to blush.
Overall, it doesn't, well, I think it goes back to the part where it's like, okay, he sparkles, and like, that's its own thing, and I don't know that that's ever really explained as to like
why. I wish it was.
He does, yeah, because that's the thing, is like, you can make a vampire or any mythical creature behave any way that you want it to, because it's not real. But you need to have an explanation for why those things happen, because I like, the reason that the mythology of a vampire is the way it is because people didn't have an understanding of like the way that the body works after death, and they were afraid that people were coming back to life and being monstrous, at least in like European versions of a vampire.
Yeah, like there was a serial killer, they made up these legends to kind of try to explain it, because no human could ever do something like
that. And then like different versions of vampires all throughout the world have reasons for why their mythology is that way.
Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah,
pretty self-explanatory.
Like there are different cultures that have different explanations for like a similar phenomenon occurring, or they have like a vampire or what we would consider to be the equivalent of a vampire, but it has its own mythology and it has reasons for why it is that way. It's like mythology in Greece. We don't understand how lightning works, therefore a man must be controlling it. There's a reason for it. And that's like, I don't know. So yeah, I don't necessarily, I understand like it was a whole thing of like vampires don't sparkle, and like I think that's stupid. Like vampires can do whatever they want because they don't exist.
But you need a reason.
Right. It's like, I wish that it had been explained at all, because he does go into it a little bit when he's explaining a little, like later on he's like, oh, I look and smell and whatever the way that a person would want me. Why is sparkling in particular that kind of thing for a person that would attract every single person? Because if I saw somebody sparkling, I'd
go the other direction. Yeah, that's,
I don't know.
Weird.
I don't know that I would react positively.
Some
to
dude
it.
Standing in the middle of the woods, just glittering. Like, yeah. That's
weird.
Bye.
Like, yeah. But so yeah, he also he has purple lavender lids. I picture this as like usually with very pale people, you can see on their eyelids or like wherever the skin is very thin on their body.
Like the bags under my eyes that I you can see always that. Have.
But like you can see veins. And so that leads me to believe that he still has blood flowing through his veins because they don't
blue.
Yeah, because they like they don't have a color unless there's blood flowing through them. They just are like everything else in your
body.
See,
but like any other time when they explain like vampires being ripped apart, there's no blood flow. Mm-hmm. They don't bleed.
Yeah. And so
if they get cut, they don't bleed. Edward's face cracks open halfway in one of the, it was the movie, but I think it did in the book too. And like he didn't bleed because there was no blood flow. And they're not alive. They don't have a heart pumping, so there's no way for blood to flow through their veins if there's nothing pumping it. So I don't understand that, and I don't like that it's never even touched upon.
No, it's just one of those things.
Because like,
it's like
Bella has all the wrong questions. These are all the things I'd be asking. Like, how is it possible for you to be standing and walking? How come you are cold as ice and hard as stone but can move?
Right, exactly.
Because stones can't move themselves.
Well, we had, I had the question at least that like, are there, is there skin like a non-Newtonian fluid where like gack where you slap it and it's hard, but like if you're just like moving it around slowly, it moves really easily. Like I'm not totally understanding what the nature of any of this is. And like I guess it can be explained away of like, oh well, none of it's real, so it doesn't matter. But like I feel like if you're if you're gonna make a mythical creature do a specific thing, there's a reason they behave the way that they do, and there's always a story behind it.
Even if Stephanie Meyer wanted to say, oh, witches are real, it's a gene. Because I feel like it's way easier to pass witches off as, like, having a gene that opens up part of their brain that allows them to do something or something like that.
Just something.
And being a vampire, like, the first vampire was cursed. Like, that's the legend.
Yeah, like,
so that's how these things started. The reason they can feel heat is because, like, they're cold all the time. And it doesn't hurt them, but they can feel the cold. And that's a form of torture for them for the rest of their lives. And the reason that they're so hard-skinned is because, like, they don't want them to ever be able to be gentle with anyone. And they want something that's very clearly, like, physically sets them out. It's, like, same with the sparkling. Like, have a reason behind it. Even if it's going to be, like, a curse or something. Whatever.
Right.
But, like, have reasoning behind why they are the way they are and why...
Well, it's like she gave the whole, I would say, lazy explanation for werewolves. And obviously some of it is, like, very loosely based on her interpretation of, like, the way that the Quileute tribe actually functions and the stories that they actually have. But she has this whole, like, you know, half-thought-out explanation for, like, the history of why werewolves exist. But there's not really...
Couldn't even half think out the history of a vampire.
Yeah, there's not really ever that. And maybe I'll eat my words later on when Carlisle talks about his, like, life, because we're gonna get to that. Like, at least to my recollection, there's not really ever an explanation given of, like, why this hierarchy exists with the Volturi, why...
I want to know how that came to be.
Yeah, and, like, the is there, like, to keep them safe. Is there one oldest vampire? Is it, like, sort of just, like, leading down from one creation, similar to, like, the Adam and Eve sort of creationism theory, or...
I think they do say that the three leaders of the Volturi, because there's...
Arrow, who is played by the guy who plays Aziraphale in Good Omens.
There's Arrow, Marcus, and the other one. And I think it is actually said that they are the three oldest vampires. Maybe. And that, like, they created... Or three of the oldest.
But who's to say? If that's still just alive. Something, yeah, if that's just something that they claim, like, who's to verify that? I don't know. But yeah, so like just the little things like that, I feel like is where...
I think they register.
Like, yeah, I know. Like, they're not like a registration kind of thing.
I don't think they actually know, because they're like, oh, there aren't a lot of us. It seems like there actually really are. There's like a whole vampire community. They're just so spread out. And like, they don't go register like you register a car.
Yeah,
you
they're just operating underneath.
So like, they don't actually know. So I'm wondering how vampires even find out about the Volturi. Like, do you get a greeting card? Like, hey, just so you know, we'll kill you if you pose a threat to the
Expos. Like, why are all these things immediately known? Because I would assume that the only reason that the Cullens know about the Volturi is because of Carlisle. But in and of themselves, I don't know that Edward has even really left the U.S. before, because he was born in Illinois.
Yep. Bella ends up, like, carefully reaching out to stroke Edward's arm, and they sit like that for a really long time, which I feel like repeated rubbing motion makes me uncomfortable if it's for too long. Like, imagine, like, sitting and rubbing your arm for 2 hours, how that would feel just 2 hours straight. I feel like you gotta have some, like, friction discomforts there after
something going on
point.
There.
Like... Her skin's gonna be so dry.
Right.
Especially hers, because it's like rubbing a rock. She's rubbing a rock for hours. That's what she's doing. So they're like flirting and stuff. I can't even remember what they talked about in the meadow, because it wasn't anything
really important. I think she's just asking him questions again.
But none of them are super
important.
Well, they at least weren't interesting to us.
Yeah.
Carlisle's story was interesting. I can tell you all of Carlisle's story that we know so far. Yeah. That was interesting. Yeah. We'll get there. But basically, they're like flirting and stuff, and Edward puts his face really close to Bella, which is like asking for trouble. So it's really annoying the way he reacts to me. Because Bella, like, he breathes on her. Mm-hmm. And Bella's like, oh, his breath. Let me get some of that.
Right.
And leads in closer, literally to sniff his breath. And like, I just picture her trying to put her nose in his mouth to sniff. That's how I picture this. He tweaks and runs away. And I just, like, you put your face near hers and you weren't prepared for the closeness.
Right. And he's like, oh, it's my fault. Like, I'm the perfect predator and you're attracted to me in every way.
He's basically like, I'm the world's best predator. Mm-hmm. Everything about me invites you in. Mm-hmm. My voice, my face, even my smell. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, sprints around, like, does laps around the meadow so fast she can't even see him and just, like, appears somewhere else. And he's like, as if you could outrun me. And then he sprints again, rips a tree out of the ground, throws it at a bigger tree.
And the small tree
shatters, and the big tree, like, pellets everywhere. This is great if you have a pellet stove. Like, come to this meadow. This is where you can find free pellets.
Right.
Shatters, and I guess the huge tree that it shattered against shakes visibly. Like, Bella's afraid the roots are gonna rip out of the ground. And he's like, as if you could fight me off. And then he, like, sprints back and is super close to her, and she's just like staring at him, not moving, horrified.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm sorry, I almost killed you. I'm still not sure if I'm gonna kill you or not.
Right.
But don't be afraid.
And
like what is what?
He just like goes through so many different ways of thinking about his own
mood swings of this man.
Not even that, child. But like the way that he views his own like monstrousness or like unhumanity kind of thing is so strange to me, because he goes back and forth between whether or not he's like, I'm unworthy of everything in the world, and like I'm a monster and nobody should want me or anything like that.
That's true. So,
like,
crawl as back soon to your hole. Yeah, leave Bella alone.
As soon as she actually reacts in a way that's like normal, he's like, wait, no, that's not what I meant. Like, I didn't want you to actually be afraid of me. I was just trying to show off. That's weird.
I'm sorry. Showing your violent tendencies isn't a way to show off, because that's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
She did something that he wasn't prepared for and wasn't a fan of, and he's intimidating her for it. Mm-hmm. This is called an abusive relationship. And I don't like it because of this, because Edward is so dominant in every way. I feel like I'd look at him and be like, pound sand.
And like, the fact is, like, it's one thing to like enjoy somebody who's dominant in a relationship. It's a completely different thing to be in love with somebody who's dominant in a relationship to the point that they're actively like threatening you on a regular basis.
Right. Being with someone who has a more dominant personality in a relationship is different than being with someone who is dominating you.
But he comes back and he's like, no, don't be afraid. And she's like, she like kind of recomposes herself and she's like, okay.
Yeah, she's like, nope. You ripped a tree out of the ground and literally told me that you are probably gonna kill me.
I don't want to disappoint you. That's fine. Yeah, she's like,
yeah, I'm afraid I'll upset you. Once again, Bella's the one that's traumatized. He's the one that needs comforting.
Exactly.
Just like when he saved her in the alley. Mm-hmm. It's just really
repetitive.
It's frustrating. Yes. He's like a little, for someone who's lived over 100 years and who's a big, strong man, he's a little baby.
I wonder again about like where his developmental process actually ended, because he's 17.
And age 12, that's where it ended.
Well, he even mentions it himself. I'm not sure if it's in this chapter or in the chapter where they actually meet Esme, but he says something to the effect of, Esme was really worried that because I was turned so young that I was like missing the component of really wanting and craving true love. And that like, that's what her, a weird worry. B, like, that's what her whole thing was. And I'm like, I really wish that were actually properly explained of, like, what does, like, being turned as a child look like compared to being turned as an adult? How does that change your physiology? Because his brain, point blank, stopped developing. Is not done developing. Like, it stopped developing before it's done, before you're an adult. So how does that affect his decision making in the long term?
That's a weird thing to say, mm-hmm. to, like, worry about, especially because, like, none of them are ever gonna die, so it's not like you have to worry about him not finding someone and being alone forever.
Right.
Because, like,
you have a family.
There are six other people that you're gonna be stuck with forever. So, like,
why does he need to be in love?
Yeah. Like, why do you need it? If you have the family dynamic, why is it something that everyone's right, like, so worried about? Who cares?
Familial bond enough in an, like, in an unconventional family like this? Especially because we'll get into Esme's whole story, but, like, entrapment is what Dad has written all over it.
Oh, I have this question, because he says, like, oh, I'm not hungry. Right. I'm not hungry right now. Mm-hmm. Like, as a way to comfort Bella, which is...
not comforting.
To me. So, like, put it any other way. Edward's a normal dude. What does that make him if he's not a vampire? A cannibal.
Yeah.
Think of being alone with a cannibal and having them go, don't worry, I'm not hungry right now. Bella's comforted. Is this a comforting thing for you? Absolutely not, because all I'm thinking is, oh my gosh, you're gonna be hungry later. Oh my gosh, like,
I gotta get out of here.
You can rip a tree out of the ground. You're gonna rip a whole wall off of my house to climb in mm-hmm. and eat me.
You're gonna rip my head clean off my body.
Yep, but she's just like, cool.
She's like, okay, you're not hungry right now, and that's cool.
And I have the question of, how come they don't need blood like we need food? So, like, they get hungry. How come they don't need to refuel at least every day, if not more than once a day?
Well, this is why I feel like the best analogy for a vampire is more like a snake than a mammal. Like, some kind of reptile. But, like, okay, so he's cold all the time. He can't regulate his own temperature. The part where he's sizing her up like a snake.
Doesn't need to eat every day.
He doesn't need to eat every day. And so I feel like the best example, like, the best comparative example would be, like, a snake or something to that effect, where it's, like, they don't need to eat a regular meal because they digest it for such a long time. But, again, never explained, you know?
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Bella asks Edward to try to explain, like, how come I smell so good to you? Like, how come I'm a snack? Like, how come I am that for you? And he's basically like, I don't really know. Think of it like I'm a drug addict.
Yeah.
And the comparison he uses is alcoholism. And he's like, okay, think of it like an alcoholic, but he's been clean for a year. If you were to lock him in a room with nothing but beer, he could resist. Probably. Pretty easily. If you were to lock him in a room with, like, 100-year-old aged brandy, he would have to sip it. No, let's get even more detailed, because, like, alcoholism isn't a strong enough addiction. Picture heroin. And then Bella's like, all flattered, and she's like, I'm your brand of heroin. Like, they're a brand. Yeah, I got this heroin at TJ Maxx. This is TJ Maxx brand.
And it's, like, to the point, Edward and maybe Stephanie Meyer don't understand addiction.
Like, she clearly has no idea what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really insulting to a lot of people to even include this if you are not going to use it properly. No. And to compare it to heroin, too. So, like, for Edward to say, oh, yeah, it's like I'm a heroin addict, but, like, I'm sitting here with you right now, not ripping your face off to drink through your nose like a straw. Like,
right. Well, there's also a difference.
She's never, you can't sit a heroin addict in a room with heroin.
Right. There's also a difference in that, too, between, like, somebody with a drug addiction or, like, a substance addiction that has nothing to do with, like, what they need to do to survive versus any sort of, like, food related disorder. If you're gonna try to compare it to anything, like, there's a reason that eating disorders are so complicated to untangle if somebody, like, has them, especially at a certain point, because it's related to what you have to do to survive. So it's not like alcoholism, and it's not like being addicted to heroin where
it's chemicals getting in your brain.
Getting over it involves cutting off from it completely, because you can't stop eating completely,
right?
And it would be, and if anything, more comparable to that. But I still don't think that would be an appropriate comparison.
I don't even think she needed to compare it to anything. Mm-hmm. Because, like, vampires are such a common thing for people to write about. We know about, like, their tendencies like that, where they can't control themselves. So I don't even think this was necessary. And no. All I can think is that I feel like this is based on a universe where, like, no one has any knowledge of vampires.
Right.
It's like zombies, where, like, if you're gonna have a book about zombies, mm-hmm. no one in that universe can have heard of them or know what they are. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'll know exactly what they are, mm-hmm. and they'll know exactly
but even what then, not to do. We've been proven wrong in thinking that because she went online and she found all of these like real life mythologies about vampires. So, like,
no, but it's weird that Bella has no knowledge of them beforehand.
This is true.
And that's what I meant. Like, the characters can't have a knowledge of what it even is. Like, mm-hmm. they call them the Cold Ones. It's like in The Walking Dead where they call zombies walkers. They mm-hmm. clearly don't know what zombies are. Otherwise, right. they'd call them that. Yeah, and it's the same thing. Like,
I don't know. And so, on so many levels, the analogy that he used just doesn't really make sense.
It's very wrong. So, next, he talks about how Emmett has had two instances like Bella in his life where there were two different people that had this appeal. And Bella asks what happens with them. He killed them both. Yep. He slaughtered them and drank them both, like, brutally.
And Edward's just like, yeah, that's just kind of the way it goes. And Bella sees no issue with this. She's like, oh, okay.
She's like, oh, so, like, it's never been something that happens and it's, you've never known it to be successful. I'm cool with it. Sounds, you know, cool, we're fine. To me. Yeah. That's fine. It's not fine. Edward goes off on this rant. He talks about how, like, he was so mad when he first met Bella that he was so, like, attracted to her blood that he decided, like, he left for a while, went to Alaska, and I guess he decided that he couldn't let an insignificant little girl like her ruin his life.
And if that doesn't tell you...
And Bella's like, okay.
If, like, that doesn't tell you the very nature of their relationship...
I would never. Mm-hmm. I'm just... No. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, he goes on that whole thing. They try to get close to each other a couple of times again, and some of them are more successful than others, but it's always only when he's in control of what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. It's only when he's in control. And he does this thing where he, like, wants to tempt fate towards the end of, like, their little whatever.
In the meadow.
Yeah. And he, like, puts his ear against her chest and stays there for, like, a really long time. Mm-hmm. And she does the same to him. And it makes me think of that scene in Tarzan where he's like, Tarzan, you, Jane. Yeah. And she's like, see, like, we're the same. Like, my heart. And, like, grabs her and puts his face into her chest to, like, mm-hmm. hear her heart. That's how, what I think of. Like, that animalistic, like, Edward. Like, that's exactly it. And then this is their first date. This is their first time spending any real amount of time together in any meaningful way. And freaking Edward looks at her and says they have their quote where they proclaim their love for each other after one date where he goes,
and so the lion fell in love with the lamb.
What a stupid lamb.
Yep.
No! And then he goes, what a sick masochistic lion. And then all I can think of is that when Twilight first came out, I was like a super fan, which is embarrassing.
You had a necklace.
I had a necklace, and it was a friendship necklace that my mom bought me, and it wasn't cheap because it was like on opening night when like their stuff was first being released or whatever, like merchandise. So I got this necklace, and they were friendship necklaces, and one side said, and so the lion fell, and the other side said, in love with the lamb. And I was so excited, and then I was talking about how I was gonna give half away to one of my friends, and my mom was like, don't give it away, that was expensive. And I was like, but they're friendship necklaces. So I had to keep both sides of this friendship necklace, and I just had to alternate between like
which side I wore,
and people would be like, who has the other half? And I'd just be like, she doesn't go to the school.
Yeah.
Because, like, I wasn't allowed to give it away. And then there was a time where I tried to wear them both at the same time. And it was just, like, the chains got, like, tangled. Because they were magnetic, too. Yeah. So, like, I think the magnet was the expensive part. So, like, if you were standing side by side with someone, you could magnet them together and, like, let them dangle. And they would still be connecting.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't allowed to give the other half away. Like, so I had to pretend like I had a friend that no one knew because I wanted to be able to wear the necklace.
Yeah.
But, like, what am I gonna say? Oh, it's in my jewelry box. I don't have a friend to give it to, so I have both of them.
You're like, I just like the coat.
I wanted to give it to you. I wanted to give the other half to you. And my mom was like, don't give that away. And I'm like, but why? Why did you let me get this then? I was like 10. I'm like,
but yeah, they're already in love. This is their first real date. They're in love. Okay.
Yep. They touch each other's faces a lot, which I don't I don't like, because, like,
they touch each other so much. It's very, like, quote-unquote innocent, but it's very, like, weirdly intimate.
It's annoying.
Yeah. Like, it's not, like, a normal, oh, I'm going to touch you. Like, I'm going to stroke your face because I care about you. It's just, like, I'm going to run my thumb down your jawline and down to your collarbone. And then I'm going to go back up your jawline until I get to your forehead.
Yeah, I think that's Stephenie Meyer's attempt at things being sensual, mm-hmm. and they're just, I'm just picturing some guy with his thumb out, like, just kind of tracing this chick's face mm-hmm. down to her shoulder, and then back up to her forehead.
And like, she does, like, the same thing to, like, the back of his hand at one point. She, like, is, like, drawing things on the back of his hand with her finger, and then she, like, touches his face, too, and it's supposed to be this very, like, intimate moment.
When she's stroking just his hand, Edward has his eyes closed, he tilts his head back, and is like, you can't imagine how that feels. And I'm like, that's like gross. A super weird thing to say to someone touching your hand. Like, imagine touching one of your friend's hand or even a boyfriend's hand and having him go, oh, you can't imagine. I'd be mm-hmm. like, I think you need to leave.
Like, not even specifically because she's, like, touching him in any certain way. It's because of the warmth coming off of her body. Because
yeah, he's a cold-blooded reptile.
I know. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't.
I love that. Get a heat lamp.
Yeah, when we were reading that part, I just said, get a heat lamp, you reptile. But it's just, like, very, it's just a very odd thing to say
The way you said it, you were so upset.
Well, like, the way that he's framing it and the way that she's framing it are just, like,
it's so very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable and, like, a little bit upsetting.
Like, he's using her almost. Yeah. Yikes. So, another question we have, since they're touching each other's faces so much, and I think this is a question Jay brought up.
Probably.
Does it clog their pores?
Like, wait, like, do they have
vampires?
Pores to clog at this point? Because they still have skin.
Yeah. Like, do they have oils in their skin? How does it not get super dry?
I don't think that they have oils, like, that they produce naturally. Because I don't think they can cry or anything. But I wonder, because Bella's touching his face, if that could clog his pores.
So then they decide it's time to leave because it's getting dark. So, like, Edward took Bella on this hike, made her hike, like, 4 miles.
All she drinks is soda.
She didn't have water with her. She didn't eat all day. They left in the morning, mm-hmm. and now it's dusk. Night. Dusk is falling. Yeah. So, bad boyfriend.
Like, yeah, he didn't tell her where they were going, so she had no chance to prepare.
She has no food, no water. I feel like at this point, like, I went on one date to the movies where we had popcorn, mm-hmm. and I didn't have water, because, mm-hmm. like, he didn't buy drinks, and I was like, am I supposed to do it? Like, I don't know, because he bought popcorn and was like, oh, do you want popcorn? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. He bought popcorn, but didn't buy drinks to go with it, didn't ask if I wanted a drink, and by the time I, like, kind of realized we weren't even getting water, we were already walking away, and I was like, oh no, it's, like, too late to go back. It's a first date. You can't just be like, hang on, actually, you screwed up. I'm gonna go buy myself a water. Right. You know what I mean? So it was a, like, 2.5 hour movie, and even just 2.5 hours with minimal popcorn, all I was thinking about is how badly I wanted water. Mm-hmm. So, like, Bella hiked today.
Yeah.
And she's been out there all day in the sun.
And it's not something she usually does.
Right. And she's been out there all day in the hot sun. She's not thirsty. She doesn't say anything about, does Stephenie Meyer forget that, like, people have needs? Because, like, they make it sound like Edward mm-hmm. forgets, and that's why it's not, like, a super big priority, which, weird. Shame on you, man. Like, that should be a priority. You were human once. You're not stupid. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he is stupid. But, like, you should know. You are around them every day on purpose. You don't pick up that they need to eat.
Right. It's like, you buy food every day that you don't eat.
Yeah. So, he decides, oh, yeah, I'm gonna carry you down the mountain.
This whole time, he had this ability to do this.
To carry her and run super, super fast with her on his back. And it makes her physically sick.
But, yeah, it only takes them a few minutes to get back to the car. Meanwhile, it took them hours to get to this meadow. She was, like, stumbling around. She's super bad at hiking because she's clumsy. And she's just, like, having a miserable time while they're walking. And then on the way back, he's just like, well, actually,
I could have done this the whole time.
Let me just run us back in a couple of minutes, in a matter of minutes. And they get there, and he's like, how did you like that? Because he's thinking he's showing off again. And she's like, get me down. I don't want to do this anymore.
You have disappointed me many times today. Please get me down and take me home. So while she's sitting there, she's wicked dizzy, and he's like, all right, sit on this convenient tree trunk that has fallen right next to the car that looks like a bench. So he's like, here, sit on this and put your head between your knees. So she does. And she's like trying to relax and whatever. And then finally she can like sit back up and stuff. And she's still recovering. She just almost vomited and passed out because of this. And Edward's like, you know, this is the perfect time for me to try something. And just kisses her. And I'm like, I wish she had just thrown right up on him.
That would
like,
be hilarious.
As he kisses her, just like, bleh! In his mouth. That would have been so funny.
But instead, she goes crazy on him. She's like grabbing his face, like going back like she's starving and he's the only thing around. She's just going for it. She's having the time of her life. She can't control herself. And he has to push her away and they're like at arm's length. And I think he backs up even further than that. And he's super stiff and he's like, I just need a minute. And
yeah, normal
she
things.
Thinks that it's her fault. Despite the fact that he kissed her, he's experimenting, knowing that he's playing around with her life. And she's like, I'm to blame because I lost control. In what world is that okay?
So it's then they get in the car and then Edward decides he's going to drive because he's a dominant macho man. And then thank goodness the chapter ends. I'm sick of this chapter. I'm ready. I hated this chapter. Chapter 14, Mind Over Matter. So the notes we have for this chapter are Music Through Generations by Eddie. 50s, good. 60s and 70s, ugh. 80s, bearable. And then I wrote, you uncultured swine. Eddie is worried his old balls will upset Bella. Birth year, 1901. Over 100 years old. Jail time.
Old enough to know better.
Most vamps are nomads. Alice doesn't remember human life. Woke up alone. Emmett was attacked by a bear. Rosalie saved him. Esme fell off of a cliff. Entrapment. Carlisle made Rosalie for Edwa. I couldn't fit his whole name. I came here almost every night. You're very interesting when you sleep, Edward. Bella is concerned about her sleep talking, not the fact that this boy's been stalking her. E manhandles B a lot. B bothered by idea of her dad checking on her, but not bothered by E stalking her. Bella doesn't hang her towels. Is this Eddie's first relationship? Doesn't matter. Sound of Music vibes from Eddie. Stalking her out of anger because Mike asked her to a dance. Edward is sizing Bella up like a snake. Edward believes in a divine creator. He's not a fan of evolution. Edward is manipulative. They had their first kiss today and B wants to know if they can get married someday. What? All right, so.
But yeah, we start off as they're driving back, to which she comments that Edward is actually a good driver.
When he's not.
Speeding.
Yeah.
When he's not speeding.
When he's not trying to kill her.
I don't know what her bar for what good driving consists of.
It's low.
Because she repeatedly says that he almost never looks at the road while he's driving. But she's like, his reflexes must be so much faster than mine because he's a great driver. And it's like, how do you know that 100%, Bella? How is that something you know inherently?
Is she a bad driver? Like...
Right. It's like she drives slowly and that's the only descriptor we ever really get of her driving. But so they're driving back and as they're talking...
She's
in awe because he puts on an oldies station and he sings along to a song from the 50s and she's like, you know that despite the fact that
he was alive
in syndication on the radio currently, so I don't know that it would be that impressive of a feat anyways. But yeah, he was alive when it happened and when it came out and he's like, I love 50s music, I hate 60s and 70s music, but I like the 80s, I like the synth, like whatever.
He said they're bearable. So all these other really talented artists are just
nothing.
Bearable
or ugh,
like ugh to you, Edward. Ugh.
But yeah, Bella's amazed by this. She's like, cool, you're old. And then she tries to get him to tell her how old he is exactly. And he finally says, oh yeah, I was born in 1901 in Illinois. For some reason, I know that I must have read this.
I thought he was not born in the U.S. for some reason.
I did too. And maybe it's because he died of the Spanish flu that I automatically associated him, like, European more.
Yeah.
But...
I did too.
In my mind, I knew that I read that information and took it down. But I'm just like, Illinois?
So he talks a little bit about their pasts and about how most vampires are nomads because they can't stay in one place for too long because obviously they slaughter a ton of people every year. So they can't stay in one place the way the Cullens do. So the Cullens are very unique in that they hunt animals and can stay. And he talks a little bit about how everyone became a vampire. Well, a little bit. And he talks about Alice doesn't remember her human life, that she just woke up alone. She doesn't know who changed her. She doesn't know why. She has premonition. So she saw Jasper and she saw the Cullen family and knew that that was what was going to happen. So she found Jasper.
Oh yeah. We get into like why people have powers that they have, because Carlisle has a theory about how it must be that, oh, she had like abilities with precognition before that. And I was so good at body language and like reading people before that, that now I can read minds.
That's funny because he can't read Bella
out. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like he doesn't know anything about reading people now unless he's relying on mind reading. How can he say that?
He can't. So I think that's interesting. I would like to learn more about Alice. Jasper was turned. He was part of...
Yeah, he was a Confederate soldier. But then he was with a different family for a while, according to Edward.
That lived very differently.
Yeah, and so like he slaughtered both.
So Carlisle is turned first, obviously. He turns Edward. Edward is with him. And then they turn Esme.
Shortly after.
Who fell off a cliff. They don't say how she fell. I have a feeling we'll find out eventually. But she fell off a cliff. Not really sure what happened there. And Carlisle turned her in order for her to be, quote, his mate.
Yeah.
Because that's what they call it. It's not a girlfriend. It's not love interest. It's not soulmate. It's mate. Mm-hmm. Very animalistic. And I don't like that.
No.
Also, that's like entrapment.
Yeah. Because it's like,
like a lot.
Depending on how she fell off a cliff, like the circumstances about it and like how she was dying.
Maybe she didn't want this.
Yeah. Like maybe none of them wanted it. It's so, the like, choice that Carlisle made. And he tried to. So we'll get into this a little bit later. But like, I believe he tried to kill himself when he first was turned. He tried to figure out if he could like starve himself or whatever because he was ashamed of what he was. And then he's turning around and he's like, actually,
I'm gonna make a bunch of other people just like me,
even though I know that it's incredibly hard for any of us to die, and so they can't really make that choice for themselves.
Yeah. So Esme falls off a cliff and she gets brought to the hospital morgue, and clearly the people that brought her in need to be fired because she still has a heartbeat. So clearly they did not check her pulse. Just great. So him hearing that pulls her out of the morgue and just like sinks his teeth right into her and is like, ah, oh, my bride. And then next, Rosalie is turned, which we'll find out later exactly how she died. Carlisle turns her for Edward to be Edward's mate. Like, Carlisle is just matchmaking people. And it's creepy. It's like literally like a mail away bride almost. Like, yeah. Ah, this one's dying good.
But Edward says, and he's like, oh, immediately our bond was like sibling. We had a sibling bond. So I never really got into Rosalie. Edward also very clearly has a distaste for Rosalie to a certain extent, because at one point in this chapter, he calls her pig-headed.
Yes.
And so I feel like...
Yeah, Rosalie brought from her human life her pig-headedness.
Then Rosalie finds Emmett because he's getting attacked by bears, and Rosalie found him.
Yeah, she smelled the blood, found him. She didn't change him herself because she didn't think she could. So she picked him up and carried him back to Carlisle and begged him. And Edward's like, I'm just now starting to understand how hard that trip must have been. So I'm wondering if Emmett was similar to Rosalie, how Bella is to Edward. In which case, I'm like, dude, Rosalie's like way stronger than you because his blood was everywhere. And she didn't do it. And this is...
Rosalie's a bad mamma jamma.
And I think this is kind of early on into her change.
I think so. Because Emmett's been around for a while, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't really know anything. But
I know.
Alice and Jasper came in next, and they're the two newest, and Jasper is
the newest
to their lifestyle.
Even though he's like older, if he fought in the Confederacy, he was older than Edward,
than a lot of them, than everyone but Carla,
basically. Yeah. Oh, and let's Alice. I don't know how old Alice actually is.
So that's how they all died. Well, most of them. Fun. The two that we haven't heard about how they died. Well, three. We don't have anything about Alice. Jasper was a soldier, so I think it's fair to assume that's how he died.
But we don't know anything about Carla really at this point.
And we don't know anything about how Rosalie died at this point. So, yep. So he tells her about that. Great stuff. They go back to Bella's house. Like, by the end of this discussion, they're outside in her driveway. And she's, like, looking at it, not wanting to go in. And he's like, oh, should I come in with you? And she's like, oh, do you want to? And he's like,
yeah, they're very, neither of them are very passionate about wanting to be there anymore.
Yeah. So they go inside. She makes dinner for herself, mm-hmm. asks Edward if he wants anything. And he's like, girl, I don't eat. Please just
go for like, it.
Yeah. And he ends up saying, oh, he unlocks the door for her because mm-hmm. he knows where she hides her house key.
Yes.
And she makes a comment about how like, oh, weird. And he makes like some little joke about spying on her. And this is the quote. She says, you spy on me? I was flattered.
Girl, come on.
Like, what? I was flattered.
I'm very surprised she doesn't immediately make the connection to like how he got into her house to get her truck key when he and Alice leave that early day.
Obviously, that must be how he got in to get her.
Like, I know that he can get in through her window, but if he knows where that key is, then that must be his regular thing that he knows.
So when she goes, you spy on me, and, you know, she's flattered, which is
weird,
really cringy. He says the most cringy line of this chapter, mm-hmm. I think, which is, I come here almost every night. You're very interesting when you sleep. So Edward's stalking Bella, right? And Bella is concerned about the fact that she talks in her sleep, not the fact that this boy is climbing in her window, watching her while she sleeps. Before they've even gone on one date. And just in general. It's an alarming thing. So already he has been listening in on all of her conversations with everyone ever. He watched her play gym. And now he watches her sleep. In, you know, a few minutes, he's gonna listen in on her conversation with Charlie. Dad.
Yeah.
He, like, has no respect for her personal space at all.
And he just tells her this, like, very nonchalant. Like, he's just like, yeah, I come here every night.
Like, and it's a like, normal thing.
I guess it makes sense why he's so nonchalant about whether or not she wants him in the house. Because he's like, well, as soon as you fall asleep, I'm gonna be in there anyways. Like, and every time he tells her that she should sleep well before this, every time he's like, oh, like, have a nice night. It's him being like,
A very different meaning now. Yeah. Like, make sure you sleep so you don't wake up and I don't have to hide when you wake up at night.
Right, it's him making sure. He's like, listen, be interesting when you talk tonight because I'm listening.
Yeah, it's really, Bella needs to call the cops. She needs to tell her dad, yeah. the police chief, that this is happening because this is not okay.
No. They have that talk and she's just like, she's very concerned about how embarrassed she is. She's like, oh no, I talk in my sleep and I always knew it, but I didn't think he would know that about me.
And then she goes, oh, like, what do I say? And he's like, oh, you know,
this and that, my name. And he's just like very casual and smug about it. He's like, you say my name. And that's the reason that I decided to go through with this. And I don't think that he tells her that until later. But
no.
We'll find out a little bit more about that.
So they hear Charlie's car pull into the driveway after they've been like flirting and it's gross. Edward is like, oh, should he be meeting me right now? And she's like, oh, I don't know. And he just goes, okay, another time then, and just disappears.
Mm-hmm. She's like, Edward? And then she hears him laugh, and then nothing else, as Charlie comes in through the door.
See, he comes in, and Charlie thinks she's acting very suspiciously because she's in a good mood. So Charlie is super suspicious, like, thinking that, oh, like, are you going out tonight? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And she's, like, super convinced that Charlie thinks she's gonna sneak out, even though he doesn't really say anything that indicates she's gonna sneak out. Like, I don't think Meyer set this up really well.
No.
Because I definitely did not get the vibe that Charlie thinks she's gonna sneak out.
It's just her own thought process.
And, I mean, it ends up being
true. Yeah, it's like, one of those things where it's just like, it ends up being true, so I guess she's right. But there's no
setup for it. There are no context clues.
Yeah, there's no reason for her to believe any of the things that she believes until she gets proven right.
And there's no reason for Charlie to think that either. It's like, she doesn't really portray Charlie in a way that I'm like, oh, it's very clear that he doesn't believe her when she says, oh, I'm just gonna go upstairs and go to bed because I'm tired.
Like, she does that all the time.
Like, she doesn't do a good job of explaining how other people are reacting to Bella.
No.
It's just, oh, I think this. And I'm like, why do you think that? Because Charlie asked you questions and was interested in how your day was. And
right. It's like, there's no setup for anybody else because it's all about Bella. It's all about Edward. It's all about me, 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 me.
So everyone else is like grazed over very quickly.
Mm-hmm. But she, you know, eats her lasagna, chugs her milk, no water, runs upstairs and goes to the window.
So all she's had to drink today is a glass of milk.
Yes. And she goes to the window, passing the vampire lying across her bed. And she's like, Edward, out the window. And from behind her on the bed, he's like, you called? And he's like lounging there.
And then they're flirting a little bit. And she's like, I just need a human moment. So she goes in, takes a long shower, makes him wait on her. Brushes her teeth.
But yeah, so she, this is where you said she doesn't hang her towel.
Yeah, she doesn't even hang her towel up. She tosses it straight into the hamper, and I'm like, that's how they get musty.
She goes downstairs to prove to her dad that she really is going to sleep, and she laments the fact that her choice of dress is so ugly. And then she goes back upstairs, and Edward's still there, and she's like, oh, hi. Here I am.
And then she climbs right into bed with this gentleman. Mm-hmm. This... stalker.
Like, before this, he sits her beside him. Like, he picks her up and sits her there.
He, like, manhandles her a lot and does a lot of things that make me think of, like, when you pick a child up to put them into bed, like, mm-hmm. picking them up and having them sit on your lap and sit next to you. That's how a lot of this, I see it, and yeah. It makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of emphasis on her being a kid and him being a man. And look, with everything they do, it ties back into that, where it's like she's like this fragile little girl, and every sense of it, where she, every move she makes, every move he makes reflects that, where it's like he's so much stronger. I think in the bed with her, he talks about how it's very hard for him because if he's not careful, he could crush her face. And she's like, she's okay with that. She's like, okay. They also get to a point, he starts asking her questions and they're talking back and forth. She's asking him questions. Every once in a while, he keeps asking her if she's asleep or not, which I feel like he would have to know, because she keeps making mention of how her heart is beating out of her chest and he must realize that, or like she's blushing.
Yeah, and
he
your
must...
heart's not beating like that when you're asleep.
Exactly. And so I'm like, I feel like he must know that she's not asleep, but he keeps asking her if she is. And I don't understand the full point of that.
So she's really concerned. So the whole show of her showering and running downstairs. So like she showers, runs downstairs, says goodnight to Charlie, and comes back up, and Edward like sees her wet hair and is like, what was all that for? Like, people need to shower, Edward. Mm-hmm. You nasty little person.
It's like, he must have to shower. Like, they must have to bathe from getting dirt and grime on themselves. You might not sweat, but you get dirty, especially when you go out hunting.
Right, hunting those grizzlies.
He runs his hands through her wet hair.
Yeah, which, guys, don't do it. It's not like a sensual thing. Wet hair is very...
fragile.
Very fragile, and it tangles really easily. So it just kind of hurts. So she's saying, like, oh, Charlie thinks I'm sneaking out, and I'm afraid that he's gonna come check on me. So she's horrified by the idea of her father checking on her when she's asleep to make sure she's safe in her bed. But the fact that Edward has been, for the past few weeks, month, I don't know how long it's been going on, has been sneaking into her room to watch her sleep without her consent is like a huge thing for her. Her sleep all night, watching her sleep all night. But that's fine. And they agree that he's gonna spend the night with her.
But yeah, she's totally fine when it's like on her terms. Or not even on her terms, but when it's on Edward's terms, she's fine with it. But yeah, then as soon as her dad shows concern, she's like, how dare he? And why of all nights is he observant tonight? As if he doesn't know anything about her.
Right. This, I think, marks the very beginning of a very codependent relationship for them, because I'm not sure if it's here or where exactly it is. Eventually, they reach a point where he has to stay with her every single night. He picks her up and drives her to school. He drives her home from school. They have a class together. They do lunch together. And then, you know, once she's home from school, he stays with her until Charlie's home. And then once Charlie's home, she'll go upstairs to her room and he'll spend the night.
Yeah.
And like, it's every single night. And it's after she falls asleep. It's like they're literally together. They can't go 2 seconds without being with each other. And it's really sickening.
Yeah.
And I think this is where it starts. And I'm so disappointed in Bella.
I know. It's very unfortunate to see.
What, this 100-year-old man manipulating this teenage girl?
He's very manipulative with her, because I think in this, he's pleading with her at some point. He keeps saying please to something in bed, like while they're like together. Please, like something like, don't be mad at me, please, or something like that. And
For spying on you while you're sleeping. Please don't be mad.
And he like knows exactly what he's doing to her, but he's just like, no, it's fine. Like, he knows, like, physically, like, I'm alluring because I'm meant to be your predator. I'm meant to attract you, and I know exactly what I'm doing, and I've admitted that. but I'm still going to use it to my advantage to get you to like me. This is also where he's like laying in bed with her, and just like the image of it, he's like laying
next to her,
but he's like breathing on her neck, and she can feel him like opening and closing his mouth every once in a while, and like to
skimming
me,
his nose across her neck.
Yeah, to me it brings up, I don't know if any of you guys have seen, I think it's like an urban legend or something that gets passed around, where it's like a woman is talking on like a snake help group or something, and she's like, hey, I sleep with my snake in bed, he's my best friend, but recently he stopped eating and he's laying out like exactly straight like next to me, and he's like opening and closing his jaw a lot. What does that mean? And somebody tells her, oh, that means he's sizing you up to eat you, so you should put him in his cage. And like, that's just what this scene reminded me of.
Yeah, he stopped eating because he's trying to make rum, and he's finally able to stretch out like long enough that your body would fit.
Yeah. And so, like, yeah, that's just what
I didn't
that
know
scene...
they can do that, to be honest, but yikes.
But yeah, that's just, like, what that scene reminded me of. I'm not totally sure why.
No, I agree with you. I can see now. Like, I didn't think of it until you said it, but now that it's out there, I'm like, oh, that's all I can think about now.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a question, and that is, since Edward was 17 and he died, and he made it sound like in the meadow, he was like, oh, I never thought I'd feel this way about anyone ever, da-da-da, whatever. You're not like other girls. And I'm wondering, is this Edward's first relationship?
Hi.
Because he's 17, and I know from reading the book before that he kind of goes crazy for a really long time and is kind of like a ripper and just
going through it. Yeah, like the way he talks about it leads me to believe so, because he asks her if she's a virgin, and like that seems very important to him for some reason, and so I wonder if it's because like
he's a virgin,
but like more to the point of like he's never really had a real relationship before. But I don't exactly know, which I think would be interesting to explore once again, like if it,
how did those other relationships go if he did have them? Did he kill any of them?
Like how was this meant to go? Has he ever dated another vampire kind of thing, like tried it out kind of thing? Or because like all the vampires and all like the werewolves in this book seem to know exactly who's going to be their soulmate forever. They never date
without
around.
Dating around.
Yeah, they don't date around at all or anything like that.
That's
like
not that's how just it what works.
That's just what people do, is like you date somebody until you get married or it doesn't work out, and those are like the two outcomes basically.
Yeah, you're together forever or you're not.
Yeah. And
you don't just kind of decide after one date.
Yeah. And so I do kind of wonder about that, because I would be interested to know like more about, I don't know,
what he's like,
what his experience
her.
Level is, because I understand like their like mental dynamic at the very least is unhealthy, but I do wonder about like their emotional dynamic, because if he's never had that sort of experience, that would partially explain why he's like
the way he is,
childish in the ways that he is. Yeah.
Well, also, so what sparks that conversation is that Edward talks about how like the younger they are, they start out in a place, the longer they can stay there, because they can't stay in one place for too long. And he says that Rosalie and Emma are kind of divas and make everyone go to their wedding every so many years. They'll like age out of being teenagers, go into young adults, and then they'll get married again and again and again, and then live like separately as a married couple.
I personally love that. I love how extra that is. I love how glamorous. Like Rosalie must insist on like a huge extravagant wedding.
Or Emmett. Like, I could see Emmett being like, all right, bachelor party.
Yeah. Like I just think that's so funny. I love that image of them.
But so after that, now mind you, this is their first date. Bella is like, oh, is that something that like we could ever do? Like get married? And then all of a sudden it turns into, no, I don't think so. We could never have sex because I would crush you. Mm-hmm. And like that's his reason that they could never get married.
Right.
And like they can never be physical.
Yeah, this is where he says he could crush her head if he wanted, if he wasn't
careful.
Yeah,
I could reach out trying to caress your face and crush your skull by accident.
And she's like, oh.
That's kind of hot.
Right. Like, she's just like, she has no issue with that whatsoever. I think she says that she is scared, but like,
in that moment. Yeah.
In that moment. But she's like, oh, I know that I'm not as scared as I should be. And I'm like, girl.
That's for sure. You should be.
That sounds like a
you should
problem.
Be looking at him and be like, I need you to leave.
Right. Which brings us to the final chapter, I believe.
The
for this,
Cullens.
For this one, anyways.
Notes for this one. Chapter 15, The Cullens. Edward is still there. Gross. Now unafraid to just watch. I didn't miss anything. Edward in reference to watching Belle asleep. I love you after one date. You are my life now. Too many parallels from Bella being a child and Edward being a man. The Cullens taking bets. Funny. Ed wants Bella to introduce him to Charlie. She is unsure. Edward horny over khaki, long skirt, and school-appropriate blouse. He kisses her and she faints. Why such an emphasis on how weak she is? Ed takes Bella to his home. Dr. Carsley. Alice is weird and we love her. It's weird how much Ed and Renee have in common. Esme is great. I feel extremely insignificant. This is a quote from Bella. Rosalie is explained a bit more. Jealous of Bella for being human. Edward drinks one of Bella's tears and no. Edward drinks one of Bella's tears and no mention of it is made again. Can vampires drink other vampires' blood? What would happen? Were the witches Carlisle's dad hunted real? Carlisle's origin story is super interesting.
But yeah, so Bella wakes up in the morning and she sees Edward. She's like, I need another human minute.
Yeah, she just like brushes her teeth and stuff.
And she comes back and she notices that he has changed. And she's like mad about this. She's like, you left. And he's like, yeah, I went to go get changed. And she's like, when did you leave? And he's like, don't worry. I didn't miss anything.
In reference to her sleep talking. Like, right. What like,
that's what he's concerned about. And then she's like satisfied with this. Because he's like, oh, you were in deep sleep when I left. So like nothing was going on. And she's like, oh, okay then. Even though she was embarrassed by him hearing her sleep talk. And so she's like, okay. He tells her, he's like, oh, Charlie already left, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's like, okay. And he's like, oh, do you want to go meet my family today? She's like, yes.
Once again, to reiterate, Charlie's already left because this is a YA novel where there are no parents.
Apparently.
Ever. Also, he says after he reattached the cables to your battery of your car so you couldn't, like, sneak out because he thought you were going to sneak out. Oh, he did check on her in the middle of the night, too. We forgot that about the last chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Charlie,
Edward has to hide. She was right. Edward has to hide, and then Charlie comes in. She pretends she's sleeping because apparently she can't act but can.
It's all very underwhelming.
Yeah. But then they go down. She eats breakfast. She has cereal. Again, no water. He's like, oh, do you want to come, like, visit my parents and my
Let's
family?
Let's track how many times she drinks water in the whole series. I know.
Like, never. But he's like, oh, do you want to come meet my family today? Like, I'd really like you for you to meet them. And she goes, okay. And he's like, and I should meet your dad, too. And she's like, I don't know about that one. Like, she just does not want him to meet her dad.
I would be so offended if I was dating someone and they were like, I don't want you to meet my parents ever, actually.
And she's just like, no,
I'm gonna,
like,
keep
why?
You a secret. This is a secret relationship.
Right. She's like, oh, why would that be important? And he's like, because he's your family. So the whole time she's like, they're just having this, like, weird conversation. The night before, we forgot to mention, he has this whole rant where he's like, the reason
I hate Mike.
Yeah, he's like, essentially, the reason I started stalking you is because Mike asked you to dance and I was so mad
and jealous
and
with
jealous
rage.
About it that I, like, I didn't know how to handle myself and I got in a huge fight with my family about it and I decided that I wasn't gonna let some normal dude get in my way and so I came here and watched you sleep for the first time. And she's like, oh, Edward, that's so romantic.
And I'm like, that is, there's a reason this is called red flags.
Right. And then so, yeah, that morning when she accuses him of leaving, he's like, I didn't miss anything good. She's like, well, what did I say? And he's like, you said you loved me. He's very smug about it. Again. Yeah, she's like, I love you. And he says,
you are my life now.
Oh,
that's not
she?
Exactly an I love you too.
No.
And it would be really sweet if it weren't for everything else that Edward's ever done.
Yeah, being creepy.
Yeah.
But going back to when they're at breakfast, or when she's eating breakfast and he's watching her, because that's what he does. He just watches her do everything. But she goes upstairs to change, and she's like, oh, I chose this blue blouse because Edward said that he liked it once. It was the day that she almost got kidnapped in Seattle.
Yeah, the day she was cornered and...
And she's like, oh, he said that he liked this blouse before, so I'm gonna put this blouse on. It's a school-appropriate blouse. And then she puts on a long khaki skirt.
Ugly.
And she comes down the stairs. He like,
and I'm like, how long? You know what I mean?
It must be past the knees, I think, for her to describe it as a long skirt. And it's the only skirt she owns, I think. So she comes back downstairs and she's like, I'm decent. And he wraps her up in this huge embrace. And she's like, I stayed perfectly still so as not to upset him. Excuse me? And then he's like, oh, you're
so hot.
He's like, you're so indecent. It should be illegal for girls to be this beautiful. Over a long khaki skirt and a school-appropriate blouse.
And then he kisses her. And this is how pathetic this is. He kisses her. She kisses him back. And he parts his lips slightly and she passes out.
Yeah, she faints. She's like, I'm down for the count. It was so good.
And I'm like,
there's a lot going on there. She also flushes with pleasure.
Oh yeah.
Like this girl is having orgasms nonstop. And if you know what? If I were in a relationship like that, I think I'd say I love you on the first date too. No. She's just like every time it says anything about like I had such a pleasurable release of energy or something like that, I'm just like,
she has that when he touches her face in the hall at school and she's mm-hmm. like, I felt a release as soon as I saw him again, and I'm mm-hmm. like, is she orgasming?
Right, like what is going on here?
Are these parallels to orgasming? Like, I guess I get why she's so into him mm-hmm. if that's the case, because like right. I guess I'd overlook a lot of things too. But probably not. Like, the stalking is a pretty hard... It's a hard line for me.
Yeah. They take her truck over, and she's like, I didn't really realize where the Cullens live, because we went through town, we went past town, and then on this one winding road, there was, like, a dirt path that I saw, barely readable from the road, and he turned down that, and then it's a miles-long driveway that's just a dirt winding road to this house.
And you know the Cullens fly down that road at, like, 90 miles an hour to get to school.
Right.
Because all I'm thinking is, like, no wonder they drive so fast, because mm-hmm. they'd never get to school on time.
No. You'd have to leave at dawn. I had the question while we were describing this of, would nobody, because he's like, oh, we like to live privately. We like somebody makes a comment, like, we like to live really privately. We want nobody to bother us. Would nobody ever see that trail on the side of the road thinking it was a walking trail and go, hey, we're going to check that out and walk down? I mean,
people
down.
Should know better than to go on unmarked trails, to be fair.
My second they question.
They should have people wandering on their property all the time.
My second question, because it's unmarked, so there's no way for her to know that this is a driveway. How did the Cullens get mail? They have no mailbox. Do they have a P.O. box in town? Weird. But yeah, so they roll up to this place. He's isolating her already, again.
I mean, at least this time it's to his family.
True. So that but like, how safe do you feel when your vampire boyfriend is like, want to go meet the rest of my family? They're all vampires too.
Hate you.
You're going to be the only human there. And nobody knows that you're going there.
I mean, she didn't care about being in the woods with him. And that's no true. One cared, like, not telling anyone. Bella doesn't make good choices.
No. She's amazed by their house. It's, like, big and old and whatever. She's like, oh my gosh, it's great. Love the architecture. She says something about how they have an acre of land.
Like, it's huge.
Like, that's, like, a huge amount of land. When it's like, I don't know, if you were going for like a farmland type of thing, most farmlands are like larger than 3 or 4 acres. So if you're going for that type of feel, then that's like a completely different idea. Because I understand that like a lot of people live on like very small pockets of land. But to say that like it's impressive that somebody has an acre of land seems very middling. But yeah, she's very like impressed by everything, whatever. They go inside and she says something about how like it's been clearly remodeled so that, but the whole floor is like open concept and it's so impressive to her. There's a piano and like up the stairs she sees Esme and Carlisle and she's
they're
like,
very rich.
She's like, considering only so one of them beautiful. Works. Yeah, only one of them works. But she's like, they're so beautiful. They come down the stairs and she notices that they're doing it like mechanically slowly so as not to scare her. And they're like, oh,
that's
hello.
Like more scary.
It's like one of those weird like horror movies where it's like the parents or like whoever is talking to you is clearly like a robot of some kind and they're trying their hardest to look human. Like that's what it reminds me of. They shake hands with her and they do it in a very strange way. She describes Esme as like looking like a 1920s film star, like with her heart-shaped face and everything like that. I'm like, that's cute. And then she like looks at Carla and she's like, I already knew this dude. She doesn't bother explaining it, like anything about him again. And they're like, oh, welcome to our house. Ha ha ha. Like,
you're very welcome, Bella. Yeah. Is what Carlisle says. I just think it's funny because I know what he means, like you're welcome here. Mm-hmm. But it like the first time I read it, it's just like, you're welcome for letting you step foot on our property.
Right? He's just like, you're lucky we didn't kill you on site.
You're welcome for not drinking you mm-hmm. dry right. the moment we knew
you're welcome
you knew
for
about
not
us.
Letting Jasper go after you like he wanted to.
But yeah. Carlisle did not support that.
No. Yeah, Edward's like, oh, here are my parent figures. they're cool. Not a lot gets said during this. Esme is like a very supportive mom. She's like very nice. And
then, I like Esme a lot.
Yeah. Alice comes down the stairs and she goes full vampire. She just zooms down the stairs and she's like, "Hi, Bella. Nice to meet you." Like, she's very like
eccentric. Hugs her, gives her a kiss on the cheek. Mm-hmm. And Bella's like super surprised, but like, oh, at least I know she likes me. Because the others, I'm not sure.
And then Edward makes a comment about how like, Alice like marches to the beat of her own drum or something like that. I love Alice, honestly. I do too. She's nice.
She's fun.
And then Jasper shows up. I don't know how it says he appears.
I would love to see him and Alice like interact
more. Right. And they seem very interesting.
Well, it's also they just seem like they're polar opposites. Like she is so sweet and fun and would never hurt a fly, and he's like an ex-Confederate soldier. And
he's like very reserved but very stern.
Yeah.
And she, Alice also says that, oh, she's like, oh, you do smell good. Ha ha ha. Like, it's such a big joke. I see what all the
fuss is about.
Mm-hmm. Jasper shows up. There's not really a mention made of how he shows up. At least not that I remember. He's just kind of there. And he's, like, standing a little bit away from her. And then all of a sudden she comes, like, she's, like, washed over with happy feelings.
She remembers that he can influence the way people feel.
Yeah. And so that brings us to a question of, like, how he does that, because Edward can't read her mind, and it becomes a big point of interest when we get to, like, meeting the Volturi, that, like, they can't...
Jane can't hurt her.
Yeah, they can't affect her in the ways that they want.
As a human, so why can Jasper influence her feelings?
Yeah. Well, to that point, too, like, why can Alice see her future? Like, I get that that's more of, like, an open-ended thing where it's, like, in order to see anyone's future that she's involved with, it, like, includes more than just her. So I could give that one a pass, I think. But, like,
yeah. Yeah, 'cause it's like, more physical.
How Jasper would do that.
Would influence her mind, basically.
Yeah.
Because, like, Alice, her blind spots are the werewolves that comes out later.
Yes. And so it's just very weird. Carlyle asks Edward a question.
In his mind.
And Bella kind of, like, watches the exchange, and she's like, oh, that's weird. Duly noted. And she notices that Emmett and Rosalie have not shown up. And she looks at the piano, because she's like, oh, that's really cool. And she thinks about how her mom used to play piano, and they had, like, an upright, and this is a grand piano. And she, like, is talking about her mom. And I guess I noticed it right here that, like, Edward and Renee have a lot in common, weirdly, when it comes to music, at least. Where, like... he likes classic music and Claire de Lune, and then she recognizes it because her mom listened to it, and then now all of a sudden she's like looking at this piano and she's like, oh, my mom plays piano, and Edward plays the piano really well. And like, as far as like interests and things like that, they're very similar, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, they are. Which is even more interesting because Renee sounds like a lot of fun, and Edward is kind of drag.
Well, yeah, Bella keeps, like, Bella makes Renee sound like a free spirit, kind of.
Yeah, and Edward is completely opposite.
Yes.
He has brief moments of that, I guess, but, like...
It's just not there.
Yeah. Like, she tries to make Edward sound like a free spirit, but it's just not, like, it doesn't just track with the rest of what he does.
Edward drags her over to the piano once they realize that she has an interest in it, and Esme's like, oh, Edward, you should play something. Like, she's very, like,
proud mom. Yeah. After she scolds him for showing off to Bella earlier, like, she's like, oh, yeah.
Play the piano.
Well, there are exceptions to every rule.
Yeah, she's very, like, But so he drags her over to the piano. He sits her down like a kid, and then he sits next to her, and he's, like, playing the song, and she's like, oh, my gosh, that's so great, because he can move really fast with his fingers and whatever. And she's just, like, listening to him play the piano for a while. She turns around. Nobody's there anymore. And she's like, okay. They all left. And he's like, They're trying to give us some alone time. It's like, you've had the past 24 hours of alone time. What does that even mean?
Right.
Immediately, she's like, so what did Carlisle ask you? Also, you
brought her here to meet them.
Right? She's like, what did Carlisle ask you? And he's like, oh, it was something about, like, another group of vampires. And...
Yeah, Alice saw that some vampires are going to come traveling through. And I'm only telling you this because I'm going to be super possessive of you now.
I don't want you to think I'm naturally a tyrant.
Says Edward. A tyrant.
Yeah, like, he's controlling as it is. So, I don't know what he meant by that. And then, so she's like, oh, I noticed that Emmett and Rosalie aren't here, and he's like, oh,
yeah, Rosalie hates you.
Yeah, he's like, oh, well. Rosalie's, like, jealous of you, and Bella's very surprised by this, and she's like, what do you mean? And Edward's like, well, you're human.
Yeah, so- don't get me wrong, hon. Rosalie's gorgeous. It has nothing to do with, like, your looks mm-hmm. or your brains because you don't have brains. But- not saying Bella's not pretty. I'm sure she's fine.
Yeah.
Brain-wise, though, she's...
missing.
No survival skills, man.
So he's like, yeah, you're human. So Rosalie has a really hard time, like, with anybody on the outside knowing anything about us. And then Emmett just goes, kind of goes along. Emmett doesn't care about you, really. Like,
yeah, oh, Emmett couldn't care less.
How comforting. And then she's, like, asking about how everybody feels about her. And he's like, oh, Alice loves you. Jasper, you know, he doesn't mention, really, that Jasper wanted to kill her. He's like, Carlisle is just happy with, and Esme are just happy with whatever I'm doing. And Esme's super happy because I finally found something. Somebody. And she's like, wanted me to be in love forever.
Which is weird because he died at 17. So he's going to be a kid forever. It's not like any of them are ever going to die. So it's not like they have to worry about him being alone.
Yeah, they're not
so
on
it's like, why does it matter? Like, why do you want him? So why does he need to have, like, that kind of relationship with someone?
Well, and to that point, like, I guess she's, like, a very motherly figure. And that makes sense to an extent. He's older than she is, though. So it's a very weird dynamic that they have.
Well, it makes me wonder if he really is older than she is. Because if it was only a couple years and she's, like, 26 when she died.
Maybe she is,
he was 17. So if it was... under, you know,
a couple of
10
years. Yeah. But yeah, so she's asking about how everybody feels about her, and he's just like, oh, you know. And he finishes playing the song, and she like, realizes she has tears in her eyes, and she, like, goes to wipe them away. And then he leans in and, like, swipes the tear that she missed and puts it in his mouth to, like, drink it.
Which she notices. They stare at each other for a minute, and then he just goes, so do you want to see the rest of the house?
Right.
And they never talk about it.
They never talk about it again. Like, nobody makes any mention of why he did that. It's just like, you know.
Yeah.
Drinking a tear, I guess.
So yeah, he just drinks this girl's tear. And, like, just imagine, you just went on your first date with this guy, you're sitting with him, you tear up, and he just leans over and literally puts one of your tears
in his mouth.
I feel like Bella's whole thing of just letting it go, it's like, I feel like there's nothing else to do in that situation. Like, what do? You know,
you'll leave.
That's the kind of guy where, like, you kind of don't say anything, you finish the date, and then you don't call him again.
Yeah, it's just very strange. And so they start walking through the house, and they get to a big cross. And she's like, oh, that's cool. He's like, yeah, it's original from when Carla's dad carved it.
Carla's dad whittled it!
Yeah, he, like, just carved it, you know? Bella's like, oh, how old is Carlisle? Because he turned you, like, in the early 1900s. And so Edward kind of goes into Carlisle's story. Carlisle was born in the 1640s, and his dad was a member of the church.
Church.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he is.
It was a, or head of. Mm-hmm. An Anglican church. So he was really against Protestant movements and all other religions. And he hunted witches and werewolves and vampires. And this was back at a time where, you know, it wasn't uncommon to think that there were monsters. And in this scenario, I guess there were in this universe. And yeah, Carlisle's dad was a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
He never actually caught one. And mm-hmm. Carlisle followed in his footsteps and went.
He decided that he was going to start taking up the helm. And he was like, I was more persistent than my dad and I was more dedicated than him. Or that's what Edward says. So he was more persistent than his dad and he was more dedicated than him. And he went into, like, the street because he had heard that there was a, like, a grouping of vampires living in the sewer, and he was correct. And so
yikes.
He got the whole town together and they all grouped up around this group of vampires who had clearly not fed in a while. They were all weak, and so they all started chasing them through the streets, and in the scuffle of it all, Carlisle got bitten. And even though he was bitten, he put himself in a cellar underneath a bunch of potatoes while the rest of the group went on and hid himself there for like 3 days
because he knew that his father, anyone that had been bitten by a vampire
would
contaminated
be
would be killed.
Yes.
Because you can't have that. Mm. So for self-preservation he hid, which is really ironic because he turned into something that he ends up hating.
Yes. And yeah, so, like, that's a very interesting story. It brought us to the question, though, like, are witches actually real in this world? And are, like, werewolves outside of, like, this one Native American tribe real?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm curious.
Because it's just, like, not really ever explained, like, what the limits are. With a lot of stories like this, I feel like it's, you're either in, like, a very magical, like, setting where everything is real, or they only really make mention of one thing, and they don't really talk about how realistic a bunch of other things are. Like, are ghosts real in this world? I don't know. It's weird. Nothing. And so they're talking about this, and she, like, that's a really interesting story. And the next chapter is actually called Carlisle, and I'm pretty sure it's gonna, like, go into a lot more detail.
Yeah, because he walks, I think, this is where, and I'm not gonna lie, when I was in middle school, I totally skipped over this part, so I have no idea what happened. But, he brings Bella to Carlisle's office mm-hmm. to hear it straight from Carlisle, which I think is interesting. Mm-hmm. I think Carlisle's one of the most interesting characters in the whole book.
Yeah, I think that all of their backstories are...
I think everyone but Edward and mm-hmm. Bella are interesting.
Well, even then, like, I would still say that I think Edward's backstory could be really interesting because he's lived through, like, just by the fact that he's lived through so much.
Yeah.
Like, things that he's experienced have to be interesting. And so I would be more interested in hearing about pretty much any of them as opposed to Bella and Edward.
Yeah.
And I feel bad about that, but it's just like, it seems like there are so many more interesting things going on. I really want to see, because we get into it a little bit more, but Alice has a big emphasis on how she's supposed to be best friends with Bella, and she's like, okay, I've already accepted that as a reality, so I'm going to just act like I'm her best friend already. And I like their dynamic a lot when they're like, when they are interacting, but it's just so few and far between because it's always about Edward or Jacob.
Yeah, it always has to be about the love interest. It can't be about anything else at all, ever.
Speaking of which, we just haven't seen Jacob in a while.
Yeah, we've seen him twice.
And so, but yeah,
is why it's so far-fetched that he ends up being a love interest to me.
Exactly. It kind of comes out of nowhere. But so, yeah, like, there's, I don't know, it just seems like there are so many other avenues of interest that I guess when I was in middle school, to be fair, neither of us were very interested in the chapter about Carlisle. But I would be interested in it now, and I'm excited to read it now because I think it's going to be probably one of the more interesting parts of this book.
Maybe the most interesting part of this book.
Do we want to talk about Carsley?
When I was in middle school, I didn't know how to pronounce it, and I called him Carsley.
I don't think either of us knew how to pronounce it.
How did you pronounce it?
I want to say I either probably also pronounced it Carsley because you read the book before I did, or I think I would have read it Carrizzle.
I don't know which one's worse.
I know.
I guess I didn't know how to spell aisle.
Yeah, like, really?
I think that's it.
I think that's everything because I think that leads into like going to his office. So that's like the end of this chapter. I think it's very interesting that these three chapters brought out a lot of questions for us just about how vampires work that really never get answered.
Yeah, and just, I don't think they ever will.
No. Well, it's just like
in many books, and it's not just Stephanie Meyer that mm-hmm. does this. It's a lot of people that don't.
Like, the lore is just never fully established. And I understand, like, the fear of not wanting to say too much at once to bore a reader. But, like, when things come up, answer them. You know what I mean? Like, how does this actually work in this world where these things are real?
Yeah. Like, Steph, if you're listening, I've got questions.
My number one question is, how do they get away with not vaccinating? Because they go to a public school.
My number one question is, how do they get out of paying their taxes without changing their name? Mm-hmm. And how does no one ever notice that they don't
pay taxes?
Die.
Like, yeah. How does nobody
because they have social security numbers? Because they
move back and forth to like the same four places. They're like, yeah, oh, so most, like, are they paying are taxes
or not? And if not, I'm assuming they have social security numbers. So is the IRS just tracking these like 100-year-old mm-hmm. beings?
They're like, just like, oh, let's yeah. just see how far
they're paying
goes.
Their taxes, so it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's all very strange.
Like, how does Carlisle open so many things up in his name?
And, well, how do they put money? Yeah, how do they put up money down for like a house or a car?
Yeah, because like they never change their name.
It's very weird.
And why are they the Cullens? Mm-hmm. Why don't the kids?
Because Edward's last name is Mason.
Like, why don't the kids keep their original last name? Mm-hmm. Why do they all take Carlisle's if they're adopted? Wouldn't it make sense for them to keep their original last names if they were adopted in their teens?
Right. Like, there are so many things that it's just like, but the semantics of everything just doesn't really add up. I suppose that Carlisle could forge it, and that's like another area where like having a doctor in the family comes in handy. But how do they like convince everybody that they're up to date on their vaccinations? Because they can't actually get vaccinated if their skin is like so hard.
Yeah, would it break?
Right. Like, I don't. Yeah. I don't know. So I guess it must be one of those things that, like, Carlisle forges. But I would be interested in seeing that explained. Like, oh, this is how Carlisle forges all of our legal documents.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. They're just... I feel like because This is another one of those things where until, like, the last chapter, not actually, like, a lot happened, despite, like, there being a lot that happened, not a lot seemed to happen, I guess, if that makes any sense.
And in this one, even less happened, but I feel like I got more out of it.
And then, like, I enjoy the explanations, but I think it brought out a lot more questions than it answered.
Definitely.
But yeah, I think that might be all for us for this time. I mean, what are we thinking as we're getting into, like, the next chapter explaining more about Carlisle?
I think the book sucks. I think that if you were to take Bella out of this book, it would be exponentially better.
Yeah.
And if you were to make Edward less whiny. Or do it in someone else's perspective and let Edward be the whiny younger brother. That would be fine. But, yeah. Like, Edward, or as even, he is, I don't want it in his perspective.
Well, like, even, I feel like it would work better if it were actually, like, a new vampire coming into the family and having to learn all of these things. Because it would also explain, like, how any of them know about the Volturi other than Carlisle. Because that's not... It doesn't seem like that would be inherent to what they, like, if they're just staying in one place, minding their own business, how are they being reached out to? And, like, how do they know everything that they know?
I don't know. Like, there are a lot of things that I wish they went more into, like, the vampire government.
And, like, how it...
Because that's what the Volturi is. It's a government.
Yeah, like, how it even came to be and how it enforces anything at all. But yeah, like, I don't know. It just, I know we haven't really gotten to the Volturi yet, but, like, historical things like that, I feel like I would be much more interested in learning now. As opposed to, and, like, trying to make sense of any of them at all.
No, I was curious about the Volturi when I was reading it. Mm-hmm. Like, they were my favorite part of the entire book. See, I loved Jane. I wished they had done something in, like, Jane and Alec's perspective.
Yeah, I just didn't care that much about them. Because I also didn't read anything. Like, there was The Short Second Life of Bree Tanner, right? But, like, yeah, I never read it because I was just never interested in that part of it when I was, like, doing it then. But now I feel like I'd be much more interested in it.
The Short Second Life of Bree Tanner was better than the entire series of Twilight. Like, Bree is a much more real character. And, like, her experiences... being in Victoria's army is awful. Yeah. Awful, awful.
Well, I feel like that would make sense, too, because didn't Stephanie write that after everything else?
Yep.
Yeah. So, that's why I'm hopeful for, like, Midnight Sun. I think I say this at the end of every single episode where I'm, like, I'm hopeful. But I think, like, because of things like that, as she, like, learned to flesh the world out a little bit more, I'm hoping that, like, that actually reflects in whatever ends up coming out of, like, actual Midnight Sun.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Hey guys, Jay jumping in here again. Just wanted to say if you enjoyed what you heard today or if you're interested in hearing more from us, please feel free to follow us wherever you're listening to this podcast right now, as well as on Instagram and Twitter at RedFlagsATP. Thank you so much. So, yeah, bye.